America tonight, coming off of a wild weekend for many. I don't care what nook and cranny you hail from, I guarantee the malls, the roads, everything was probably jammed up a little bit. It's called Christmas shopping. And I think a lot of people are already tired of Christmas shopping, but we're not there yet. We have less than 2 weeks to go. Some sad things happened over the weekend and other things that we'll mix in. Sad, certainly, for some NFL teams. This was a crazy week in the NFL. Did we have a winner as far as Nail the Score goes? Because our Nail the Score game was the Packers and the Dallas Cowboys. We'll let you know. We'll tell you about that at the tail end of this hour. Also, winter weather. Some people were out trying to do that shopping. Others were stopped dead in their tracks. You know, it's been kind of crazy in the Midwest as far as snow is concerned, but even in the Northeast, too, as well. There was the storm that went blew through and left massive amounts of snow. In fact, if we looked at parts like Albany, New York, many of you are listening to us in Albany, New York. Great place to be from. Great place to go and visit, actually. Beautiful. 12 inches of snow, they say. Mounds of the stuff. And other parts of New York, too, and New England. So a foot in some places. Hundreds of flights have been canceled. And FedEx is actually saying that the weather could delay some shipments, which is really surprising because, you know, remember, that's that whole thing about no matter what, we will absolutely get the packages there. But what can you do when you have that kind of snow that you're talking about? It's weird, too, because some of the bigger cities were spared shoveling this stuff, like Boston and New York City itself. I just had a friend that flew in from New York City a couple of hours ago. No problems there. But outside of the city, there were areas in Maine. I know we have some fantastic listeners in Maine and Portland in that area. There is a lot of snow. Then we're talking about that U.S.-Canada border, too. They saw massive amounts of snow as well. And it's one of those things that, you know, when you live in those spots, you know it. It's something that happens. It can happen whenever, when the conditions are ripe, sometimes earlier in the season, sometimes later in the season. And I bet there were a lot of people that were probably watching the New England Patriots snowed in somewhere. I'm thinking along those areas that I mentioned, especially in the New England area. So millions of people are getting that chill. And they're seeing some of the snow along the way, too. And I think that's the big story. I have a cousin in Chicago. Boy, it was snow, 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 trying to put up lights at the last second. So they've been hit hard. Snow fell Saturday afternoon. It was wet. It was heavy. It was tough to shovel. That's not the easy stuff. It's when it's that when it comes down softer, it's so much easier to deal with than when it gets wet. And then sometimes we're talking about the freezing thing, and then it turns into what we talked about the last time when we kicked off a week, and there was this terrible ice storms that had people trapped for days on end, certainly as well. The Talking Heads, which I fondly call the Sunday shows where it's wah, wah, wah about what happened in the week, talked a lot about things like the drone strikes, because Yemen is saying the drone strikes have to end. There were some civilians who were killed last week, and they were part of a wedding party, and that raised the hackles of a lot of folks in the Middle East. But I think the drones are here to stay, and it goes back to that thing. Hey, if they have intel of who somebody from Al-Qaeda, they're going for it. And if something happens with the drone in the meantime, then if something is off course or the intel's incorrect, it goes back to the same thing that you're killing our people and we need to stop the droning. And I just don't see that. I don't see that happening at all. In fact, we have more drones than ever in some of those areas, especially in the Middle East. But even here in the United States, as you know, that's a big debate. about drones. Fair or foul? Is this the wrong kind of warfare? Is it wrong because of the possibility even of the collateral damage to think that we should continue to use the drones? And as I said, drones are massively being produced, so there's no way that's changing. And with the successful launches of drones from, like, submerged submarines, for example, certainly hitting some of the targets that they were intended for and taking out some of the bigger names as far as the Al-Qaeda network, I don't see that changing. Al-Awlaki was one of the guys that was killed in a drone strike, if you remember, back in September of 2011. And that was probably the highest profile target, which he was an American-born Muslim scholar. But that kicked open the door for the debate because he was a U.S.-born guy. So even though he was absolutely tripping the switch with a lot of people, he was contacting people through the internet and whatnot. And he was involved in several plots and several attacks that went through. It still didn't matter. The Human Rights Watch group, one of the big ones, made a big deal about this and said that, you know, there's so many others that have been killed too. 57 civilians have been killed by missiles fired from drones. And Yemeni security people are arguing that the drone strikes have actually helped Al-Qaeda by turning these peaceful communities into people who want revenge. So is the drone something that just needs to be dropped? Are the U.S. drones doing the opposite other than helping the cause of extracting terrorists, of killing terrorists, or not? Somebody put to me, it's not a video game, so when you make a mistake, you can't take it back. There is no reset to this. Once it happens, that's it. You're done. So we're spending billions on drones, billions on these missions, and is it actually hurting? Do you think that's true or propaganda, that there are too many people that would seek revenge, too many Al-Qaeda folks that would whip up an innocent crowd and poison their minds more and more against the West, and particularly against the United States, because of these drone strikes? And let me tell you, Lockheed, Halliburton, I mean, listen, They're the Halliburton are the guys that come in the end, and Lockheed, they're the ones that are building them. They're the ones that are tweaking them. I don't see how this agenda changes. I don't think so. Do you disagree with this or not? In fact, this is going to be a big part of the conversation in the next couple of days, just kind of taking your temperature. Send me your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net, AmericaTonight.net. On the flip side, Nelson Mandela laid to rest, and some other thoughts from over the weekend. Stay with us.
Registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs understands the importance of supplementing with glucosamine and chondroitin for optimal health and vitality. That's why he recommends Glucogel from Youngevity.
Get on the Glucogel caps from Youngevity. They're a great way to treat arthritis and any kind of joint issues. And oh, by the way, glucosamine is great for helping support the vascular system, the blood vessel system too. So you'll get multiple benefits from the Glucogel caps. You'll be able to treat your arthritis and joints as well as the circulatory system. And also the Glucogel caps can help prevent wrinkles. The Glucogel caps support collagen synthesis.
Take pharmacist Ben's advice and support your joint, circulatory system, and skin health by ordering Glucogel from Youngevity. Call 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsideben.com. That's brightsideben.com. Order today.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Kate Delaney, happy holidays, by the way, everybody. Maybe you went to a few parties, risked it in some of that deep snow in some of the areas that had massive amounts of it. I mentioned Chicago. I know it was really, really bad there. The thing on my mind is drones, and I mentioned the reasons why. Yemen and the wedding party that was hit by a drone strike, and, of course, this was intel on an al-Qaeda operative, and now we're seeing that there's a big outcry from a lot of human rights groups to stop droning. And we have millions, I mean more than millions, billions invested into drones. And I don't see that machine stopping. It's about feeding the beast. But is this the wrong beast to feed? We're going to take that poll here on the show for the next couple of days. I'm curious because this is a real hot button in the Middle East. And this is the way we play war now. I mean, this is the way we do it at this point. 855-266-5283 if you want to weigh in, by the way, during the show. 855-266-5283. Also, I'll tell you, here we go again with the school shooting. This happened on Friday, and it was in Colorado this time. And now there's all kinds of reports when it's a few days after coming out about, well, what motivated this. It's the why question. I say it all the time that bugs us. We want to know why. How do you prevent it? Could it have been prevented? Did anyone know anything? And two students were injured. It's Arapahoe High School. This was in Colorado. And, of course, the familiar scene, it was snowy and cold, and kids are running out of the school. I mean, they're running out of school. It's breaking news, and it's in the afternoon, and it's at Arapahoe High School, and you've got the choppers and the police and the parents coming to the school when this happens. So the person that went in and then was armed with a gun, apparently, and decided to open fire might have been a teenager, they say, who had a grudge against a teacher. Carl Haverson Pearson was his name, and he all of a sudden, he opened fire with actually a shotgun at this high school, wounding the two students before killing himself. But some of the other students who were around let the teacher know, and the teacher, you know, ran out of the building, is what they say. Hey, get out of the building. That's what they believed. The students tipped off the teacher saying something's going on. So the sheriff there, the school people, everybody is just trying to really identify what happened here. What was the meaning of this? Was there a meaning? Was this a grudge? What was it? The teacher that got out of the school was overwhelmed by the students trying to help. And it's crazy. One of the students was a girl who was taken to the hospital in serious condition. The other student had minor gunshot injuries. They found what they thought were Molotov cocktails inside the school. One of those apparently detonated, but nobody was injured, thank goodness. And within 20 minutes, because now it's all about timing this, within 20 minutes of reports of gunfire, they found the suspect's body inside the school. And students just ran out, like I said, flew toward the track. They had their hands in the air. There was television shots of it, and it was another one of those crazy scenes where you had people that just tried to get to school as fast as they could. And you know, you're talking about Denver. This is a Denver area where this high school was. So they locked down a bunch of different schools, and they had a lot of people on the scene, I mean, pretty quickly. And actually, somebody told me that Arapahoe High School is just miles from Columbine. I mean, it's really that close. And you think, boy, how awful is this? I mean, how crazy is this? Because in Colorado, they've had a bunch of gun control measures, actually, that have happened. They had ammunition magazines limited. I looked this up when I heard about the shooting. And they also expanded background checks. That was just approved by the state. And even two state lawmakers were booted in recall elections after voting for the measures, right? A third resigned to avoid a recall. And there was a lot of backlash. And so there's, like many other places, there's a big divide in Colorado because, of course, the state is known for hunting. And lots of people have guns, and lots of people own guns, frankly, in Colorado. And it's that whole belief system about the guns and should there be stricter gun laws, or is it not about the guns and it's more about the people who get the guns? I guess the good news is they alerted the teacher. They got out of the school, and unfortunately two students were wounded, but nobody was killed in this. Nobody was killed in this except for the shooter himself. So to the grave he takes whatever the motivation is that, again, was believed to be a crazy thing about a teacher. But it opens up the conversation once again over guns and schools and what schools should do to keep or be aware of to keep students safer. Now more teachers are being trained to actually be able to square off against a school shooter. That's becoming common. They're bringing people in to train teachers what to do if there's some kind of school violence and you're in the middle of it at an elementary, a middle, or a high school. What do you do? And there, it's isolated events, I think, but it just seems as though there's more and more of these. And no kid should have to go to school and worry about somebody with a gun. But 14 years ago, that really, to me, is when it happened. That's when it all changed. 14 years ago was Columbine. And that started the effect of more conversation about it, more things happening at schools, and people asking if their child's school has some kind of, at this point now, a security plan. And I guess now parents, the good news in a way is it's sad and it's awful and it's sick, that shouldn't be happening, but at least there are more parents that are being proactive and are involved in what's happening at the schools and what is the security. What is it? At one university, I just saw this the other day in Maryland, and this is university level, they are buying bulletproof whiteboards because there's a company that makes these whiteboards, and the university figures they want to give their professors greater protection. So I guess the idea is, boom, you pick the whiteboard up, and it's like a shield. That's crazy. And certainly with kids, they have backpacks to use as shields, and there are other companies that are making various things to deal with deflecting bullets, covering yourself, that kind of thing. And I wonder how many teachers would like the opportunity to carry a gun, how many support armed guards, how many support massive security measures. You know, where is the line? When is it too much? So you frighten the kids, or is there never too much? I mean, if it happened in your kid's school, you would be a wreck. You'd be a wreck. And I think that taking the guns away is absolutely not the answer, because more gun control is not going to stop these incidents that we're seeing. You might disagree, or you may agree with me. What do you think? 855-266-5283. I'll meet you on the flip side.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So it's off to Grandma's house for the holidays, eh? That's great. But while you're going over the river and through the woods, professional burglars are choosing easy targets to break into. Don't be an easy target. Plug in fake TV. Fool criminals into believing someone's home at your house watching TV. Fake TV works a bit like a light on a timer, but fake TV is far more convincing. Fake TV plugs into any outlet and simulates the light and colors of a real TV. Burglars will likely move on to easier targets and leave your house alone. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. That's 877-532-5388 or FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, my name is Annette, and due to menopause symptoms for nearly 2 years, I suffered severe hot flashes, which prevented me from sleeping all night. It was so hard to work because I continued all day to have the hot flashes from hell. I was exhausted and depleted. After only 3 weeks on One World Way, I have no hot flashes, and I'm sleeping normally again. I feel energized and strong. This is an amazing product.
It is a little-known fact that every single cell of your body is supposed to produce 10% of its protein content as glutathione. But due to toxicity and aging, it does not. Could glutathione be a missing factor in optimal cell function for your entire body? If you restore the optimal glutathione levels in your cells, especially your glands and organs, then as a result, your glands and organs work better. Imagine the quality of life improvement you might have. To order One World Way, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Interpreters for the deaf. It was about the final resting place for Nelson Mandela. That happened on Sunday afternoon. It was a traditional ceremony in his childhood home village, which was east. It's in East Cape Province is where it is. And, you know, the tradition is a 10-day period of mourning, and that's what happened as of December 5th when Mandela died at the age of 95. Then they had a state funeral, speeches and songs and all that kind of stuff. And South Africa says goodbye for the last time to the man who reconciled that country in such a huge, huge way in a terrible period of apartheid. And it's amazing to think 27 years in prison, coming out and not wanting revenge and doing quite the opposite of that. And now that's over. So, you know, you had thousands of people singing and dancing and gathering and a huge tent at the Mandela family compound. When that funeral service started, they sang the national anthem. Apparently it was very, very emotional, where a lot of the people that were there placed fists over their chests and whatnot. In a big portrait that was just looking out over the assembly, and his casket was transported to the tent on a gun carriage, and they had the national flag, which would be, again, a traditional thing, draped over the coffin, and then they took him to the final resting place, and there were family and others that were invited to that. But what a wild couple of weeks this has been since Mandela died. And I just think the thing to take out of it is not all the silliness, the fact that it was iconic for a reason. It had really nothing to do with politics of that country, but the peaceful nature of Mandela after, again, being imprisoned from apartheid and then emerging to become the first black South African president and calling out the people for what they did and then forgiving them in commissions that were very, very controversial. Very, very controversial, if you remember. That was back in 1994. And, of course, South Africa still has a lot of problems. They've got massive crime. They have unemployment. They are there's a lot of unrest there. And Mandela reigned over a period of big reconciliation, certainly. That's the good news there. But South Africa still has a long way to go in other departments, especially the crime has been pretty scary lately, underreported probably, but some vicious, vicious crimes. Lots of people trying to get out of South Africa, actually. We've kind of jumped around here, and sometimes we do that as we kick off the week on America Tonight. I said we started off with the weather and how brutal it's been for some people, the chilly temperatures, but really the snow. If you were dealing with a foot of snow, you were probably hanging inside the crib. You weren't going out to go pick up a bunch of presents. But who knows? I mean, some people are much better at that, and they think others are silly, and they're able to dig themselves out. But I think there is a limit. Even if you live in New England, there's a limit. There's a high water mark where, nah, that's too much snow. We're going to stay inside. There's no way we would, there's probably nothing would be open. We're not going to go and do that. We'll just watch football and hang out instead. I always think there's a threshold. Even when you tell everybody, oh, I've been through this, there's a threshold somewhere. I think there's a threshold, and we're coming to it. It's the story I was talking about in Colorado and another high school shooting. This time it seems to be pretty targeted that the target of the shooter was a teacher. But still, opening fire with a shotgun and hitting two students, and one of them, who I thought was okay, is not so okay. There was the girl is Claire Davis, and she is stable but in a coma. So hopefully she pulls through this, but some of the reports that now I've read are not painting it as, oh, you know, it's an okay situation. I mean, it's terrible, but she's going to pull through. Now they're saying it's like a struggle for her at this hospital in Littleton. And she was hit in the head with a bullet. That's what happened. So the family, of course, is praying she comes out of the coma and she's going to be okay. And the gunman was looking for revenge against a teacher slash librarian, but couldn't find her because she was warned by other students. And then he killed himself as an officer closed in toward him, someone at the school, a school officer. And how sad is this? And they're saying that one of the girls that was shot, she was just a random victim. Didn't even know her. That didn't even, you know, nothing. There was nothing, there was no nastiness between them or anything like that. She was just the person that was happened to be in the way. So she got hit. And boy, that's got to be a horrible call for that family. So I said this brings up the need for schools having security plans or something, at least conversations about it. I don't think you can just ignore this. I bet you it's on more and more school agendas. I don't care if it's elementary school or middle school or high school or whatever it is. I think with especially Newtown really in Connecticut really kicked open the door for that, to have more input into what the school is doing for parents anyway at these PTA meetings and stuff. I think that we'll probably in the future see even more of that. That's going to be something that would be high on the agendas heading into the school year. Is it bulletproof doors, policies of how people are getting in and out? Is it armed guards? Is it the random teacher who has a gun? Is it bulletproof whiteboards? Like I mentioned, some university in Maryland getting bulletproof whiteboards. And, you know, you think it can never happen to you, but if you had a little bit of a plan and some safety measures in place, it certainly wouldn't hurt. And there's no way to 100% know this, but I would love, it would take some digging, but I would love to know, just ballpark, how many schools in the United States now have some sort of a plan in place, anything. Should something happen, somebody's there with a gun, they come in, what is the plan? You would think that maybe there would be some sort of a plan because of how frightening it's been to see these schools that suddenly they're caught off guard. They're caught off guard because they're not expecting. Newtown, Connecticut did not expect what happened over a year ago. They did not expect that somebody was going to come in and target any of the kids there. Why would they think that? Why would they think that that would happen? They wouldn't. What's going to happen in Washington? Of course, the House clears. But what about the Senate? There is a final Senate vote this week. The Senate has to say yes because that avoids the government shutdown in January. So that was also part of the talking heads on Sunday about the compromise budget deal that avoids another government shutdown. But will the Republicans, will the Senate Republicans sign off on this? It should be, because of the numbers, it should pass no matter what. Has to pass or else it doesn't matter what happened in the House. If it does, you can bet it's signed and then that's it and then boom. We're off to the races for 2 years with a budget that really doesn't do hardly anything when it comes to deficit reduction. We're into the $17 trillions now. It's just hard to think of $17 trillion. What would that look like if it was piled up in my room? What would it look like if it was piled up in the studio where I'm broadcasting right now? I suppose it would choke me because I wouldn't be able to, the whole room would be flooded with cash if it was $17 trillion. It's scary to imagine digging out of this because we only go deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper and deeper. And $23 billion in a 10-year window is just not enough. It's the debt that we're leaving behind for any generation behind us. And this is the when people start to say, oh, well, there's not going to be any Social Security, because they see what's happening with the amount of money that we are getting ourselves into. And we're just paying on that interest. We're not even paying the premium. And that's what's equally as frightening, because it keeps adding up. We're not paying it down. It'd be like having an incredible car payment that you just could barely meet it. It'd just be revolving, 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 and you never, ever seem to pay it off. And, of course, the reason why is because what's the interest that you are, what are you actually paying for that car? We're paying for a fleet. Now, forget that. We're paying for 10 fleets and plus of Humvees, plus every car that you can possibly imagine. We are paying for it. So we'll see what happens with that budget. Ryan is stayed back behind to defend the budget. And now it's up to his counterpart, Patty Murray, to sell it to the Senate. And it seems as though she has done that. The key issue still is, when will we hit the borrowing ceiling? Because the limit is based on spending and tax revenue projections, which could put the deadline as far back as next spring or even the summer. Oh, my, oh, my. Coming up, did anybody nail the score? What happened in that game with the Cowboys and the Packers and a few other odds and ends? Hang with us.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapria e-liquid by LeCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapria e-liquid by LeCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapria e-liquid by LeCig a long time ago. LeSig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LeSig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a vapriot at LeSig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
Second and one, back to throw, throwing right, intercepted, no, it's on the ground at the 32-yard line. He was looking for Beasley. Beasley and Romo ran different plays from each other.
Beasley pulled up on the outside of this, and Romo threw it, and I don't know that it wasn't picked off, Brad.
I thought it was.
Well, Kevon Williams,
well, he'll
go to the booth.
Yeah.
After reviewing the play, the receiver had two hands under the ball, completed the catch, rolled over to the intercepted.
NFL in a long time, although I say every week is like that, but I think the Cowboys, they had such a huge lead, 26-3 at the halfway point, and they gave it all back. Packers trail 26-3. Crazy. So they keep their playoff hopes totally alive. And Aaron Rodgers, their wounded quarterback, might be back next weekend, but Matt Flynn did a great job in pulling them back into this, made some key passes. You cannot take anything away from that. He threw four touchdown passes in the second half. And Eddie Lacy had the winning score and a one-yard plunge after that interception that you just heard there. That was the voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham and Babe Laufenberg. That interception gave them one more chance, and it matched the biggest comeback in Green Bay's history with that win over the Cowboys. So Tony Romo throws two interceptions in the final 3 minutes, and it gave Green Bay that chance for the go-ahead score. And with the Cowboys in a position, though, to run out the clock, they had a 36-31 lead. So Green Bay scored with 1:31 to go. It was just crazy. and how it all unfolded at the tail end of that was nutty. I mean, just absolutely nutty. And here's what Jason Garrett, the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, had to say after that stinging loss.
We didn't get stops on defense. We didn't sustain enough drives on offense. We kicked too many field goals, and ultimately they made the plays and we didn't. They created two takeaways late in the ball game that were significant in the outcome of the game. And you know, when you do that and you're not making stops on defense, they're going to convert them into points, and those plays hurt us.
No kidding. How about the lack of controlling the game? How about game management late that leads to a crushing loss to the Packers? I mean, somebody has to take the blame for the way the game is being managed. It's ridiculous. I think it falls on the coach. See, now you wonder about Garrett. He still has, doesn't matter, but he still has money and time left on that contract. Maybe the Cowboys make a big change at the end of the season. But the Cowboys was our game of the week, our nail the score game. If you don't know what I'm talking about, each and every NFL season, because we got to lighten the load with all the heavy things that we're talking about here, right? So we got to have some fun. And the NFL rules when it comes to sports, the last two segments of our Thursday morning show, our computer randomly picks the game of the week. You tell us who you think's going to win and what the final score is going to be. It's like picking Mega Million numbers. Only you don't have to plunk down big cash and you have no chance of winning millions of dollars. So with the final score being the Packers 37-36, nobody had that score. A lot of people picked the Cowboys, including me. I said 27-24, not even close. We did have some that picked Green Bay, like Dan, who said 24-17, or Dale, who said the Packers would win it 10-7. Didn't quite happen there. There was somebody else. There was Bob, who said the Packers will win it. The final score is going to be 35-13, so not close, almost on the Packers side, but certainly nothing close to what that score was. So how about that? Nobody nailed the score again, and I don't know, that's be pretty tough to come up with that score. For the rest of what happened one of these final few weeks in the NFL, because we only have 2 weeks left before the playoffs then will kick off. We have our Matt Johnson re-rack, which is terrific. That comes up at the tail end of our next hour. Also coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk about a couple of different things, including a conversation with a really interesting woman named MJ, who spent 3 years in Afghanistan, MJ Green, and she was a female subcontractor working for an organization that she says was so corrupt. And she had daily things that she had to do that put her in harm's way, including almost losing her life to a suicide bomber. She was very lucky. Someone with some quick eyes made the difference. She was actually the general manager of a NATO subcontractor in Afghanistan. So she shares some thoughts on the people too and some other things. And that's coming up in our next hour. You don't want to miss that. It's terrific, terrific stuff that she talks about, what it was like for that time period, and then coming back and adjusting, making that adjustment when she came back home. I mentioned that you could throw in your two cents when it comes to drones, and already two people have sent emails. I have one from Bill in Illinois, and he says, "Good evening, Ms. Delaney. I have to say that I don't understand the politics of the anti-drone people. The anti-drone people aren't necessarily liberals. They aren't necessarily Democrats. Kind of, in some ways, they're liberty people, but I'm a liberty person. And frankly, if you are trying to defend the nation, how are you supposed to defend the nation and get to the elusive terrorists without drone strikes? They've been amazingly effective as well. Of course, nobody wants to see innocent people die or any kind of so-called collateral damage, but there is no way I would stop promoting drones or using drones, and I don't think the U.S. would ever do that, at least not in the foreseeable future. Yeah, I don't think they'd stop doing it in the foreseeable future either, because this is it. This is, you know, this would be like having millions and millions of tanks and saying, oh, we can't use tanks anymore. We're not going to do that because we've actually hit some people with the tanks and killed them. And we're not going to, it's not fair. We're not going to use the tanks anymore because it's a human rights deal. So that's not going to happen. My point to that is when so much has been spent, they're going to use it. Unless they're selling it to somebody else. We're not selling drones to other countries. And they're not going to get rid of, the military is not going to not use drones when they have been very effective in many, many senses of the word. And here's one from somebody with a different point of view than mine. And this one is from Chuck, who says, boy, I can't believe what you're saying about the drones. I completely disagree. We have these idiot kids who know how to play video games. They get in the military and they put them on the Switch and they think they're playing a video game. And so the information perhaps is not right, and that's wrong to kill innocent people who are going to a wedding and just brush it aside. I think we need to ditch the drones immediately, or who knows, they could be showing up in your neighborhood someday. Well, remember the whole thing about the neighborhood deal, that was the Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul screaming about that, saying he wanted guarantees that there wouldn't be innocent civilians, there wouldn't be Americans targeted somewhere in the United States. But I won't even go there with you there. Of course, I would absolutely say no way. I don't like that idea one bit. Absolutely. We're talking about war. We're talking about launching from submarines, launching from ships, going after specific targets. Absolutely. I mean, what else are we going to do that's incredibly effective in these situations? For goodness sake, the law of engagement is ridiculous for so many of the people that we have sent over again and again on tours of Afghanistan. They've been in some of the hairiest places that you can imagine, and they can't get out of them. There are definite rules of engagement, and then there are things that cannot be crossed with the Geneva Convention. So I say you got to stick with the drone unless somebody comes up with some incredible alternative, and I'm not quite sure what that would be. If you have that solution, then you have something. Send that to me, americatonight.net.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.